Hey there, my name's Gary Sims and this is Gary Explained. Now in this video I want to have a look at the Steam Deck. I received my unit only about a week or so ago and I've been playing with it and getting to understand the device. Now this review will be different than many of the other Steam Deck reviews you may have watched for two main reasons. First of all, I've actually got this device now. A lot of the reviews were based on devices they got pretty early on in the production run, and the software and some things have changed since those early reviews, which Valve kind of just rushed them out to all the big websites to try to get them out there. This one is what really you're going to receive if you've pre-ordered yours as well. And the second point is I'm not a hardcore gamer. I'm a casual gamer. I do play games on the PC, not really on consoles. And so the Steam Deck for me is not kind of like, oh, I've got to get hold of it. It's like, hey, that's interesting. I want to get hold of it. So a slightly different approach to gaming from my part. And maybe you'll find that useful. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so let's just refresh our memories. What is a Steam Deck? Of course, it's a handheld PC with a 7-inch display built into it. All of the input controls that you need, the idea being that you can take your Steam games on the go and play them in this basically this portable PC. Now what drew me to it was the fact that it's using Linux and a special piece of software called Proton that Steam have developed to allow Windows games to run under Linux. And of course that brings its own benefits and its own challenges, which we'll talk more about in a minute. Now, if you look at the hardware, you've got that 7-inch touchscreen display, as I mentioned. You've got all the input controls, which we'll look at a bit more detail in a moment. You've got a custom AMD processor with 4 cores and 8 threads. And then also inside that same chip, there is a custom Radeon graphics, which is based on RDNA version 2. And there are 8 compute units. Now, if you don't understand how RDNA works, I've got a couple of videos here on this channel talking about that, so you can understand what does it mean by a compute unit and why are they important. So 8 compute units along with a 4-core, 8-thread CPU. Now, in terms of storage, the Steam Deck comes in 3 versions. You've got a 64GB eMMC version, and then you've got a 256GB and a 512GB versions using SSDs. Now, I've got the 256GB version. Now, if you do buy a 64GB version, you have to know that's not enough space for installing maybe one game, a popular game if you're lucky, but probably you're not going to get much more on there. So you are going to have to use the SD card. Now the SD cards do work really well. A couple of tips that you might want to know about that. One is that when you do put in a new SD card, you're going to have to format it, and you have to find that right setting under the settings menu and then actually format it. And that's because it uses EXT4, which of course is a Linux file system, and most cards, all of them, come pre-formatted with XFAT on them. So you're going to have to convert that over to EXT4. The second tip is that you can install multiple games on one card depending on the size, and you can take them out and put in other cards. So you can treat them almost like cartridges as you would in something like the Nintendo Switch, and you can just kind of swap in and out the games that you want with each card. And so that's quite a useful feature. You can have like a little pack of SSD, micro SSD cards with you, which you kind of put in there when you want to play a specific game. Now, the first thing you have to know about the Steam Deck is that it's much bigger than something like a Nintendo Switch. So if you're looking at, really portable gaming like you do get with a Nintendo Switch, it can even take the sides off. I mean, recently a member of my family went away on a field trip and they kind of just took the sides off, put it in the pocket of a rucksack and off they went with it. Now, I don't think you can do that with a Steam Deck. It will go in a backpack. You can take it around with you, but it's much bigger. So do know that as the first thing. Portable, absolutely, but not kind of slip it in your pocket and just kind of head off out of the house kind of thing. So let's talk a bit about the inputs. You've got basically everything you could want. First of all, the screen itself is a touch screen, so that's really, really good. And then you've got the thumb joysticks, which you get on either side of it. Very traditional for, as you find in other controllers. And also then next to those, you've got the A, B, X, Y buttons, and they feel firm and they respond well. And then on the left side, you've got the D-pad. Again, works very well. And then beneath that, you've got some trackpads. So you've got trackpads, joysticks, D-pads, the buttons, you've got touchscreen. And on top of that, it's got a gyroscope. So if there are games like driving games where you want to, go left and right with the actual unit, that also also works as well. And then there are other triggers around. You've got the normal L1, L2, R1, L2 triggers at the top, and you've got L and R 4 and 5 on the bottom. Now, I've never used L4 and 5 and R4 and 5. They are customizable. You can do lots of customization with the input with the Steam Deck, and there are lots of community-based layouts which you just kind of say, I want to use this layout for this game, and it's a per-game profile. And so if you particularly want to shoot in a particular game in a certain way or control something in a certain way, it's probably already been done by somebody. You can just download it. But I've never used those bottom ones underneath. Overall, the gaming controls are excellent. Now, for me as a casual gamer, I'm much used to keyboard and mouse, and it did take me a little bit of learning time to get over to practicing controlling using the joysticks and the D-pad and so on. But with a couple of hours gameplay, I felt that I was actually advancing quite quickly. If you're already used to using controllers, for example, on some consoles, then this will be second nature to you and it won't be a problem. Now, we'll talk more about battery life in a moment, but the device is powered by a single USB-C port. Now, the choice of having just one USB-C port is probably a bit odd, because it is, of course, you charge it through that way, but if you want to use any other peripherals, for example, you want to connect it to an external monitor, you want to connect up a keyboard, or you want to connect up a mouse that are wired, then you've only got this one port. So there are two things to notice here. One is, if you are using lots of wired things, you're going to need a hub, and that's a USB-C hub. Now, it might be USB-C, and then the hub might have USB-A on it, for example, so you can plug in a kind of a standard mouse and keyboard, but you're going to need to get one of those if that's the kind of thing you're planning on doing. Now, apparently there is a Steam Deck dock in the works. There seems to be some different ideas about whether it's actually going to be shipping or not, when it's going to be shipping. But at the moment, if you want to do it, you're going to need to buy your own third-party one. Now, the other thing is, if you want to connect to an external monitor, which I have done, and that works absolutely great on the Steam Deck, the good thing is, if you use the right kind of monitor, like I've got this portable HDMI monitor that I use here from LePow, and I've got a video here on this channel giving you a review of that and five reasons why you'd want to use a portable HDMI monitor. The charging goes into the monitor, and then actually the charge can go around into the Steam Deck, so you get both the monitor and the charging happening at the same time. That's because basically the monitor acts as a kind of a USB-C hub. So that works in that setup. If you want to use a monitor that can charge the device at the same time, that works. Now, talking of charging, it uses a 45 watt power supply, which they give you, and that does offer some kind of fast charging. Now, here are some numbers related to the fast charging. It takes about 2.5 hours to fully charge your Steam Deck. However, because it does use quick charging, you will get about 60% charge in about 1 hour. And then the same with all charging systems, the second half of that charge, mainly after 70-80% up to full, can take much, much longer. So it's 35 minutes to go from 70% to 90%, and then from 90% to 100% can take another 45 minutes. So as it is with smartphones, as it is with tablets, quick charge gives you that good boost for quite a short amount of time, but then that last section has to reduce the charging rate to top up the battery, and that can take quite a lot longer. So quick up to 60%, but then 70%, but then it's going to be much slower after that. So if you're charging overnight, that's not a problem. If you want to charge it fully before you go somewhere, do take note, you're going to need a couple of hours to get that actually fully charged. Let's talk about a battery discharge. And there are three numbers that you should know: 4, 5, and 6. So what does that mean? 4 hours is what you're going to get if you're using a modest 3D game. 5 hours is what you're going to get if you're using something like a 2D game, or doing something very simple in terms of gameplay, a platform game or whatever. And 6 hours is what you're going to get if you're using something like the built-in web browser and then watching a streamed movie, Netflix, YouTube, or whatever. Now, there are reports if you use the most demanding games that are just coming out now, then you are going to get maybe even only an hour and a half of playtime before the battery goes flat. Actually, Steam say that you should get 2 hours of a minimum, but it looks like some of these actually leading edge games that are coming out now can drag that right down to an hour and a half. So it does depend on what you play and how you play it. Now, to try to eke out more battery life, there are several things that you can tweak. These, of course, the numbers I gave you are on the default settings. You can limit the frame rate so that therefore it's using less GPU power and therefore draining the battery less. You can change the refresh rate if you're playing a game that's only getting you 30 frames a second. There's no point in having a 60 frames a second refresh rate. You can change the thermal limit, so you can say to the software, if the processor heats up to this certain amount, then start throttling things down, and you can actually manually change the GPU frequency. So again, you can play with all of those to see whether the balance between the fidelity that you get in the game, whether you're happy with that in terms of the gameplay and the actual battery life. I suppose one way of thinking about it is if you are out and about and you do want to play a game, you're on a train journey, a bus journey, whatever it is you're doing, then maybe sacrificing a bit in terms of the fidelity of the game will be better because you get to play the game for longer, which of course is the reason why you've taken your Steam Deck with you. Talking of the thermal limiting, of course, there is active cooling inside of this, and the fan basically comes on all the time when you're playing any kind of 3D game. It can be a little noisy, can be a bit distracting, but if you are actually, got the volume up high enough for you to play using the speakers, you don't hear the fan. Of course, if you're using headphones or something, you're not going to hear the fan at all. However, those around you may actually hear it. So that is something to note. Not like a Nintendo Switch, this actually has active cooling, which means you're going to hear that fan and there's going to be hot air blowing out of some of those grills. And that brings us to the software. Of course, games are software. The Steam Deck is running its own operating system. So what does it mean? So as I said, I was drawn to this because it uses Linux. It's a version based on Arch Linux, by the way. And so they've taken this Linux and then they've added on their own UI, basically Steam on top of it. You get access to your Steam library, you get access to the Steam store and all that kind of stuff. And then there's this compatibility layer called Proton, which Steam have, Valve have written, so that you can actually take all those Windows calls and all those things that are happening in Windows and then make them happen on Linux and end up going through the AMD drivers for the graphics and so on. Now, basically, that means that there are going to be four types of games that you can play on the Steam Deck. Those that work perfectly well. They've been verified, they're great. You wouldn't know that you're running this through Linux with a compatibility layer on a handheld. It just works, it's absolutely brilliant. And Valve say there are about 1,600 games that are currently in that state. Then you've got games that play, but there might be some minor problems with them. For example, the font might be too small and you can't really read it because it wasn't designed for such a small screen. Then you get games that don't really know what's going on. They're kind of just still trying to work out whether they work or don't work. And then you get games that just don't work. So I thought I'd just go ahead and install some of those, for example, and they just don't work. I mean, some of them don't even start up. And some of them, if they start up, you can't access any of the menus. It just doesn't work. You just got to say, well, uninstall that, because that's just no good to me. So 1,600 games sounds like a great number. Because I'm a casual gamer, I've only got 173 games in my Steam library that I've bought over the years in bundles and offers. And I've never paid, kind of the $60, 60 euros for the latest game. I'm kind of much more casual, spend much less resources on my gaming. So of those 173 games, only 25 of them work great on Steam Deck. Now that's okay. And if I wanted to get some of the newer games, I'm pretty sure they would work out of the box. So, it's not even a quarter, is it? Like a sixth or a seventh of my games only work on the Steam Deck. That's more a reflection of my library rather than the Steam Deck. But if you're in that same kind of situation as I am, then that's also going to be true for you. So what do I think of the Steam Deck? Well, we've got to remember, what is the Steam Deck? It's a way of playing Steam games, which are PC games, in a handheld computer. Now that means if you're not into playing PC games, you'd rather play on a console or you'd rather play on a Nintendo Switch, then this isn't for you, because this is aimed at people who are used to playing PC games, because it is basically a PC. It also is true that it plays Steam games. So if you've invested your ecosystem in something, like from EA or from Epic or whatever, then that's where all your games are, that's where you've spent all your money, then you're not going to be able to play those on the Steam Deck because it's designed for Steam games. Now, I say you're not going to be able to play, in kind of brackets here, you can do some workarounds. You can even install Windows, for example, on the Steam Deck and then get access to your other devices. But that isn't how it's designed. Now, you might be able to work around it, absolutely fine if that's what you want to do, but know that the concept is it's a Steam Deck for Steam games. So if you're not into PC gaming, you're not into Steam gaming, then really the Steam Deck is not for you. However, if you are into PC gaming and you are into Steam games, then the Steam Deck is exactly for you because it allows you to take your Steam library on the road and play these games on this portable device. So I bought this with my own money. So am I happy about that? Is that a good purchase? Yes, I think it is. I think it was worth it, even though I'm only a casual gamer. So definitely something that I don't regret buying. Now, I'm also going to do a second video after this one, which is about how you can use the Steam Deck as a Linux computer. I'll connect up a mouse, keyboard, external monitor, and we'll have a look at how it can be used as an external computer. Because if that's true, then maybe there is a kind of a dual role here that you can take your Steam Deck, take your Steam games out on the road, but you can also use it for productivity or for streaming videos, watching Netflix, or whatever it is you want to do, web browsing while you're out on the road as well. So that will be in my next video. Okay, that's it. My name's Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed my casual gamer look at the Steam Deck. If you did, please do give this video a thumbs up. If you like these kind of videos, if you like videos about microcontrollers, about programming, about the CPUs and GPUs that we find in mobile devices, in desktops, whatever, hey, I invite you to stick around by subscribing to this channel. Also, don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Gary Explains, and I also have a monthly newsletter. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address, no spam, but you will get the newsletter. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.